It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Michael Cassero, and co-host, John Ashton. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit online, painlesslivingshow.com.
Now you've got all the places to go to get in contact. Get in contact. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
That is Dr. Cassero. I am John Ashton, and he's the guy with all the answers. I just ask the questions if you're not here to ask the specific ones you need. So if you get tired of me asking a question, you say, well, that's not my problem, then get in here at 888-440-4442 and ask your own question.
Good advice.
Sounds good to me. Topic today on this side of the radio, of course, any pain situation that you may be suffering from will entertained and answered and talked about to your satisfaction. But on this side of the radio, the topic, diabetes and pain. Now, would it be safe to say, doctor, that diabetes in and of itself doesn't hurt?
I think that's the main reason that it's gotten to be so popular.
It's like everybody's getting it.
Yeah, because it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know, we just can't seem to push headaches the same way diabetes is just, it's gone viral almost.
However, diabetes can affect, invigorate maybe, pains from situations that already exist.
That's exactly right. People with diabetes can get the same thing that other people without diabetes can get, except for the person with diabetes, it's going to hurt more.
Or may already have some of the same ailments other people have, and the diabetes on top of that is going to exacerbate any of the pains.
1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
And again, diabetes, I mean, I love the column that says, how to get diabetes. Number one is obesity. Number two is no exercise, which leads to obesity. Number three, poor diet, which leads to obesity. Sugar intake, processed foods, all of those which add, and stop looking at me like that, because I know I need to lose about 35 pounds.
Well, that is the formula. There's been a lot of research going into just how do we make people get diabetes, and this is the steps that they've come up with.
Convinced them to take more sugar,
yeah.
Which you've been assailed by commercials ever since you were a child. Sugar pops.
Sure.
Frosted flakes. I mean, just look back in your history.
Twinkies,
Hostess cupcakes. I mean, come on.
When was the last time you saw a lettuce commercial on TV?
Come to think of it, yeah. There you go. That speaks volumes in and of itself. No sleep, however. Why does no sleep lead to diabetes make yourself prone to it?
Well, actually, that's a good question. There's a few ways. One thing is, even though your body is still when you're sleeping and you're not moving around a whole lot, it's actually a very high metabolic time. Things are running at high speed inside.
Oh, okay.
And if you are not sleeping well and you're not getting the benefit of that high speed metabolic time, then you're... To put it in calorie terms, you're burning less calories, so you've got the opportunity there to gain more weight.
Gotcha.
That's one way. The other way is, for most people that have diabetes, when they're not sleeping, give me a guess as to what they are doing.
Eating.
Yeah. So if they're not sleeping,
that's right.
They're eating more.
I can't get to sleep. Let's see what we've got to snack on in the fridge. Make me tired.
Or just sitting in front of the TV
and
nibbling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess there are some things that might be safe to nibble on. But
oh, sure. Yeah, but they don't come in cellophane bags.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, grabbing a hunk of kale to chomp on while you're watching TV.
Yeah, another thing that just doesn't... seem to occur.
Not at all. And let's touch before our first break comes up here on medications. Are there medications that actually lead to diabetes, or are there medications that just make the diabetes worse, or why is that on the
list? Well, there's the full spectrum.
Okay.
There are some medications out there that are really make you really prone to gain weight rapidly mm-hmm. and develop diabetes.
That's true.
And yeah. the really bad part about that is when you stop taking the medicine, the diabetes doesn't necessarily go away, and neither does a lot of the weight gain.
Because rapid weight gain may be a side effect of taking it, but rapid weight loss is not a side effect of stopping taking it.
Unfortunately, yeah. that's not the link that was developed in the lab there.
Yeah.
The other thing about medicines is that a lot of medicines can affect the way your body metabolizes and generates energy or gets rid of its waste products, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as you take medicines, all those effects have long-term
right.
complications that come from them, and that can include developing diabetes.
Is there any way you've ever successfully counseled someone on replacing sweets with something that doesn't become bland? I mean, is there any safe way to eat sweet stuff?
Well, actually, there are a few.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to talk about one that I don't recall talking about any time on the
okay, good.
Show here any time recently. But there's an herb called gymnema. That's a
okay.
G-Y-M-N-E-M-A, gymnema.
Okay.
And that has an interesting property that if when you eat that, when it's on your tongue,
mm-hmm.
it tends to block the sweet taste buds. The other taste buds on your tongue
uh-huh.
still work normally. You just can't taste sweet. So if you were to eat a donut, it would taste like sawdust. If you were to drink a soft drink, it would taste like some sort of industrial
fluid
discharge. Yeah.
Ah.
So for people where it's the sweet taste they're looking for,
uh-huh.
what we do is we make these lozenges with gymnema.
Okay.
And they suck on a little piece of that lozenge. They can't taste sweet anymore. And it ends up being something that can help them with resisting that urge. When they go and they pick up that donut and then they don't get that sweet taste, it makes it easier to put the rest of the donut down instead of finishing it since they already took the first bite.
You know, I appreciate that advice. However, I was kind of hoping there was like a technique 180 degrees different from that.
Oh, where you could eat the whole thing anyway.
Yeah.
There's still where the boys in the lab are still working on that one.
Because that whole aversion therapy thing just doesn't work for me.
Well, I don't think you're alone.
Yeah. Gymnema. Is it that available? Is that...
Regularly? Well, you can buy gymnema
mm-hmm.
over the counter. You can order it on the internet, whatever. You okay. can make your own lozenges. What we do is write a prescription for a compounding pharmacy to make the gymnema lozenges. We call them troches.
Okay.
And what you do is you just break a piece off because it's a very small amount. We'll mm-hmm. do the trick.
Yeah.
And then a prescription of 10 of those will last for a month or more.
Hmm.
Even using it every day.
And it just makes it so that you no longer miss sweet.
Yeah. Oh. Now, if the determination is to eat that box of donuts,
you're going to do it.
Regardless of what it tastes like, you're probably going to do it anyway. But if it really is the craving for sweet and then you don't get that sweet reward there,
right.
it makes it a lot easier to just move on.
So, but there's nothing safe that would also
no.
give you that little shot of sweet.
Like I said, the boys in the lab,
they haven't come up with
that
yet.
They're still working on that.
They are, and they're working hard and heavy on that.
Yeah,
and
oh, they got the Krispy Kreme truck backed up to the lab right now.
I'll volunteer for any of that research we need. 888-440-4442. That is the phone number here. Diabetes and pain, the topic on this side of the radio. But again, any pain situation you may be suffering from at the moment, give Dr. Cassaro a holler at 888-440-4442. Or if you prefer, painlesslivingshow.com. Hit the contact button and just send an email directly to Dr. Cassaro. So, again, 888-440-4442. Write that down. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessliving.com.
Phone number here is 888-440-4442, painlessliving.com. You can go there and click on the contact button if there's a question you would like answered by Dr. Cassaro, but don't want to share it with the world, so to speak, live on the radio. Feel free to do that. As this listener did, said, Doctor, I heard you say diabetes is painless. If that's true, why do I hurt so much? My back, hips, knees, and feet always hurt. My belly hurts. A lot of the time, my ribs hurt. I always feel like I've been beat up, even though I didn't do anything. My knees are killing me. They don't hurt when I'm sitting, but when I stand, I can hardly walk across the room without feeling like someone's driving a spike onto my knees. Where can I get the painless diabetes? Are there better medications for diabetes? And don't tell me to exercise more. I can hardly walk. Sincerely.
Yeah, okay. We'll skip the exercise advice then.
We'll go right to step number two.
Yeah. Okay. Where can she get the painless diabetes? Well, it's not the diabetes that hurts. It's the knees, right?
Right.
So she's got the painless diabetes. Yeah. No, the question there, what are there better medicines? No, the answer is not really that there are any better medicines for diabetes that are going to help her knee pain. But there is a potential link with the diabetes and the knee pain. And that depends on what kind of medicines she's taking. Maybe not just medicine for the diabetes, but especially when you're talking specifically about knee and hip pain. There are a lot of blood pressure medicines that can cause knee pain as a side effect. And people with diabetes are likely to also have high blood pressure. Okay. It's not 100%,
right,
but it's really common. So it could be that medicines that she's taking for some other ailment, other than the diabetes, are making the knees hurt. Especially when she said it doesn't really hurt much when she's sitting down, but when she gets up to walk,
right,
and she can't go to step one because of that. So,
yeah, exactly.
So it might be worthwhile talking to her doctor about that. Because, you know, a lot of times, if the patient doesn't put together the link between a symptom and a medication, the doctor is never going to know that the knees are the problem and that it might be a side effect of the medicine.
Yeah.
So you got to say, hey, could my knees be hurting from some of the medicine that you're prescribing for me?
Right.
And a lot of times the answer is, I don't know. Let's try switching medicines and see if that makes a difference. But that might be a step in the right direction to answering the next question, which are there better medicines for the diabetes?
Maybe.
Maybe not for the diabetes, but for the other things. Right. And there might be that might reduce the pain.
You know, a lot of times when you go to a doctor's office and they ask you to list the medications you're taking, for some reason, the word medication means to people's or triggers in their head, they have to have a prescription in order for it to count. And they don't write down the over-the-counter stuff that they take on a semi-regular basis. That can also cause some reactions, can it?
You know, as a doctor that's been on the receiving end of that information for 30 years, you are so right.
Yeah.
And leaving off those little things like I take an aspirin a day or I take the purple pill.
Right.
Those things especially, I mean, those are the first two that come to mind. There are others. They have huge consequences. And it can really make a big difference on planning for what treatment might be available. For instance, I do a lot of procedures on people's backs, back and neck.
Right.
And that little aspirin a day, you know, that can increase your likelihood to bleed.
Yeah.
You don't want to be bleeding inside your spine.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, that's usually considered bad. If it happens, it could be a quick ticket on an emergency basis back to see a spine surgeon. And not for a Band-Aid surgery like you see advertised on TV.
Yeah.
This will be one with a long incision and removal of some bone. And
not moving for quite a while when it's over.
Yeah. So that little information about, I take an aspirin.
It's important. Yeah. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
I have a funny story here. Okay. This is a few years ago. I had a patient that listed his medications, and listed on there was Tylenol, mm-hmm. one a day. And that's unusual. Who takes Tylenol one a day?
Yeah.
So I asked about it. What's the Tylenol for? Oh, I think that's for preventing heart attacks or strokes or something. I told him, I said, but that's what you're supposed to take aspirin for. Oh, but I heard Tylenol's better than aspirin.
Yeah. Don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah, well, it depends on the context of the of the discussion, too, you know.
Exactly. So basically, you know, when you're given some advice by the doc, don't ad lib. I think it's probably safe advice. But now, getting back to this email here, I like what you said, don't tell me to exercise more. I can hardly walk. And that's a situation with a lot of people who have pains in the extremities, whether it be due to diabetes or arthritis or whatever. But the not being able to exercise because it hurts causes a vicious downward spiral, basically, because the problems get worse if you don't, you know, because your tendency is to sit so it doesn't hurt, which is going to make it hurt more when you do move.
She says she can hardly walk across the room sometimes. So she's already in that downward spiral, I suspect. And one of the things that can help, but you still got to be able to walk from the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
is to exercise in the water.
Right.
You can be really active in the water, and if the water is supporting your body, then your knees are probably not going to hurt.
Right.
They're not going to hurt as much anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to do it. But then, you know, if it turns out it's just because of bad arthritis in the knees, there are ways to reduce pain from individual joints using pain management procedures.
Mm-hmm.
If there's, you know, torn cartilage or something like that, that can be repaired.
Right.
There are a lot of things causing isolated knee pain that might be able to help, but you got to go see somebody about it to find out if it'll work for you.
Right. Yeah. Just don't ad lib. Again, don't ad lib unless, you know, you've been through medical school and you know what you're talking about and can basically recite that map of the nerve system from memory as Dr. Cassaro can, then maybe you should ask somebody.
You know? Which map is that?
The one on the wall. It's very impressive. One quick question, though. Can diabetes, can it cause directly other situations that cause pain? I mean, a situation that you did not have prior to the diabetes, like maybe poor circulation or some nerve situations or anything like that?
Well, yeah, there are a lot of things that happen. People with diabetes are more likely to get some of those other things, okay. like vascular disease or digestive problems. But the diabetes itself, at least let's say the elevated blood sugar, mm-hmm. doesn't really cause any of those things.
Okay.
Now, elevated insulin, which goes along with diabetes, that does promote inflammation.
Okay.
And it's the inflammation that ends up causing so many of the other problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the explanation why people with type 2 diabetes that have to start taking insulin, their complications usually end up getting worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it runs the whole gamut, too. I mean, from your hands hurting to your head hurting to your feet, everything in between.
To high blood pressure, to that poor circulation you're talking about, all of that stuff, it's one big package. Poor kidney function, start losing eyesight.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
Yeah. Any of that stuff probably, if you're experiencing any of those problems, you probably might want to check and see if you have diabetes first before you do anything else, wouldn't you say? Because if you have diabetes and don't do anything about it for a while, it's just going to get worse, isn't it?
Well, it does. And here's the problem with that is because diabetes is painless.
Right.
There's a whole lot of people walking around that have diabetes and don't know it. So in their world, they don't have diabetes.
Right.
And then something else will happen. You know, they'll fall down the steps or something.
Mm-hmm.
Fall off a bicycle, get in a car wreck, and they show up in an emergency room somewhere, and they draw some routine blood testing, and there's a sky-high blood sugar, and they tell the person, you have diabetes. So in that person's mind, they got diabetes as a result of that accident.
Yeah.
when really they've probably been nurturing that for months to years. And because they had it and it wasn't recognized, it will probably make the result healing from whatever that minor injury or illness was that brought them to the emergency room. It'll make that go less favorably.
Gotcha. And one question, not to scare anybody, but for someone who's substantially, I don't know what, how do you define substantially, maybe 30 pounds overweight, is diabetes inevitable?
Not necessarily, okay. No.
Just checking. Just want to make people put your mind at ease just a tad. You can still put off that diet for a couple of weeks. 888-440-4442, painlessliving.com. Click on the contact button and ask a question that way. Or give us a call again, 440-4442. Quick break. Be right back.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now. 1-888-440-4442.
888-440-4442. Well said. Or painlessliving.com. Again, if you'd like to email a question into Dr. Sorrow, you can use the contact button on the homepage there, painlessliving.com. And just prior to the break, we asked if it was inevitable to contract diabetes if you were overweight.
And not necessarily, not. Yeah.
What's the other side of that coin? If you are not overweight, are you immune from contracting diabetes?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really got, weight just happens to be an observation that seemed to correlate, but it's not a direct cause and effect.
All right. Well, you can still, I guess, burn enough calories, but still take in too much sugar to keep your body healthy internally, can't you?
That's right. Or it could be the effect of other medicines that you're taking.
Right.
We talked a little bit about medicines that can make diabetes more likely earlier. And it could just be the genetic lottery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, not necessarily that diabetes is genetic. I'm not implying that. But the ability to resist diabetes. Mm-hmm. Does appear to be genetic.
Ah.
For instance, if you're American Indian heritage, mm-hmm. you're less able to resist a poor diet and accommodate and be somewhat healthy than someone from a European extraction.
Is that because genetically the diets have been much more healthy in history?
Well, probably the diets were healthier in the Americas.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they didn't have to build that accommodation right. in, where in Europe, everyone that couldn't tolerate the grain diet or whatever the mm-hmm. diet of the day was, the diet of the century was, mm-hmm. they died. They're gone. Yeah. So it's only their descendants that can tolerate those
gotcha.
Things in their diet and still try to still be somewhat healthy.
You know, there's a lot of buzzwords that you hear, especially if you're trying to lose weight and stuff. And I overheard a conversation between a couple of folks who are trying to lose weight, and they were talking about getting into ketosis.
Is that like a health club?
No. Yeah, they got a doorman out front. You have to say nice things, slip them a 20. But that's, I mean, there, you can buy powders and stuff that supposedly mess with your ketones and get you. Is it basically where your body starts eating its own fat or something like that? It's and I mean, it's a negative situation in diabetes, is it not? Because diabetic ketoacidosis is not a good thing, is it?
That's correct. The whole topic of ketosis is probably a little more involved than what we can go through for the next 25 minutes or so. But 25 minutes is plenty of time to answer questions from any of our listeners. But just to try to touch on the question about ketosis here, for someone with diabetes, what happens is they go into ketosis and they just kind of stay there. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the people that don't make any insulin. We're not talking about the type 2 diabetics that actually have an overabundance of insulin.
Okay.
We're talking about the ones that don't make any insulin. They go into ketosis, and then they start mobilizing their fat stores mm-hmm. and lose lots of weight because they're burning all their fat for energy.
Right.
And then to get the sugar that they need to survive, they start taking apart their muscle to make sugar out of protein.
Oh, well, that sounds healthy.
And everything works just fine.
To a point.
to a point.
Yeah.
But for weight loss, that's a different thing. Ketosis is an adaptive mechanism. It's a normal function of the metabolism in response to starvation.
Okay.
It has you burning fat for energy, which is a good thing to do if you're not taking in food on a regular basis.
Right. I got you.
So when they're talking about losing weight by going into ketosis, what they're saying is that they've just modified the starvation enough where they seem to be burning predominantly fat.
Mm-hmm. Seem being the operative word in that sentence, I believe.
Well, for most people, they can go into ketosis, but it's really hard to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, most of us go into ketosis and never realize it. But getting into ketosis and staying there for even a full day, let alone for weeks, really, really hard.
A little litmus paper will let you know, though, won't it? 888-440-4442 is the phone number. We are going to go right now to the phones.
Yes, we have Brad calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Brad, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today?
Hey, Doc. Love the show, buddy. Love the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You just swerved right into what I've been wanting to ask you for several weeks, and sometimes I can only hear your show, and I don't have a chance to call in, so I finally got a chance.
Okay.
And it is specifically about lectin, L-E-C-T-I-N.
Yes.
And probably about 20 years ago was when I first read 10-year-old information at that time about eating according to your blood type. And
yes.
It was not the greatest information. Now there's much more up-to-date stuff. And all my life, I've noticed that if I eat a lot of chicken one day, I'm bloated and tired the whole next day. And I always tried to tell this to my parents, and they didn't think I was crazy. They were just always like, well, are you sure? Maybe it was this, maybe it was that. So in recent years, I really studied it. And about 30 times in a row I ate chicken, I wrote down how I felt and did I gain a pound, this and that. And come to find out, sure enough, first you got to know your blood type. And then you got to remember what your blood type is. Of course, my mom's been telling me to be positive my whole life, so it's kind of hard to forget that I'm a B positive blood type here. And come to find out, chicken, rye, wheat, corn, and I'm missing a few things there, have lectin in it.
Yes.
Which does not jive well with A, Bs, and B blood types. So I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, there is a blood type diet that our listeners can do a Google search on, or you can go out and buy, there's actually more than one book on it now. It was just one called The Blood Type Diet, or Eating for Your Blood Type, I think was the title of it. There's multiple books out there now. But the premise behind it all, and I do believe that there's a lot of validity to this, the premise is that in certain types of certain parts of the world, certain foods thrived. They were more abundant. So the people that lived in that area tended to adapt to the foods that were abundant where they lived. And that there was also an adaptation for blood type. So you have a correlation because back eons ago, people weren't mobile like they are now. So there was a correlation with people with certain types of blood tended to do better eating certain types of foods and then avoiding the foods that really weren't common in the geographical area where they originated or where their blood type originated. And that tends to work fairly well. The weakness on that for modern time is that people are much more mobile. There's been a whole lot more mixing done so that even though your blood type, for instance, you said B positive, is Mediterranean extraction, there are some things that you might be able to tolerate that some ancestors from Northern Europe or Asia, even though your blood type comes from the Mediterranean area, you may have dietary influences now that have diluted the pure blood type diet for you. But just the same, it's a really good place to start. Now, what those lectins are, they're proteins that are in the plants, in the foods that you can eat. And what those lectins do is the same thing that happens when you have a blood transfusion that's not properly matched. The proteins in there don't play well with each other, and you start getting blood coagulation, and that can be fatal if it's a blood transfusion. But when you're eating, the food actually has these antigens that don't play well with the blood type, and it causes a lower grade of that coagulation. But that's why people feel bad after they eat certain types of food.
After a while, I just had to do something about it and research it. And like you said, that I did read the A and ABs and B blood types were the younger blood types, because when ancient man, if you will, first started herding animals, and then they got used to the dairy and the red meat. So I thrive on the red meat and the dairy, and I just feel, you're talking just about painless living, just my body feels so much better now that I've matched that and at least eliminated the chicken. And can you imagine how many establishments would never want their patrons to know that a third of them possibly might not ought to eat there? But you just don't ever hear about this. And I think it was a misnomer many years ago that it was sort of downplayed so much, and the information might have been inaccurate when I was a kid. But it's important now, and I hadn't heard you explain it quite that way, because I just had heard the lectins will actually make your individual blood cells across the board swell on a micro level, but when they all do it, when you have a million of them doing it, it brings down your metabolism, I believe.
Well, it brings down your metabolism, but from a pain standpoint, what happens, your body has to get rid of those blood cells that are starting to be destroyed. So it starts tucking those things away into places where they're not going to cause too much immediate harm. Places like your joints, so you end up with achy joints. Or places like your liver, so your metabolism gets sluggish. And this is the effect of eating food that your body isn't ready to thrive on, isn't adapted to thrive on.
That is some incredible stuff.
All right, we have to take a break now.
Okay.
So thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
First time I've ever heard that, too. 888-440-4442. Get in and ask your question. We'll be right back.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
Telephone number 888-440-4442 or painlessliving.com. The website, hit the contact button. Email form pops up. You can ask your question in writing of Dr. Cassaro, as one of our listeners did earlier in the show. And you'll get an answer directly and then maybe on the air too. You never can tell how it works out. If it's apropos to the topic, yeah, we may pull it out there and use it. No names, of course. No names.
And maybe cleaned up a little bit to remove identifying information or brand names, things like that.
Yeah. Speaking of which, after the last segment, I believe the colonel is called and canceled all advertising. I had no idea of that blood type correlation to food. And I mean, that just opens up a whole new can of worms.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is Brad said that he was type B positive.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to also be type B positive.
Okay.
One of the things that I'm supposed to avoid is lentils. I love lentils. But every time I eat lentils, I know that there's going to be some problems. I've learned to cope with those.
I was going to say, lentil is over tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes. Actually, it's over yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay. Lentils, isn't that a family or is that a specific thing?
They're legumes.
Okay.
And the lectins that we were talking about are most prominent in legumes, which are beans, different variations of beans.
But now peanuts are also legumes, aren't they?
Yes, they are, as a matter of fact. And grains, different types of lectins, but the lectins are just plant proteins.
Right.
And just as long as we're talking about this stuff, one particular plant that has really bad lectins that don't play well at all with human tissue is soybeans. And guess what's in everything?
Everything. Soybeans.
Yeah, and soybean oil has managed to get into everything.
And so that soy milk, I mean, that kind of...
On and on.
Oh, man.
And so you have to wonder, we got a country full of people that are really kind of sick.
Yeah.
Could it have anything to do with the fact that our food is actually manufactured to
be bad
for our bodies?
Eating food that's bad for your body doesn't manifest itself as an upset stomach or a blah feeling after eating. It can manifest itself as a pain in your knee, a pain in your head.
Diabetes,
things like that.
Sure.
I mean, so do everybody need to buy a house with a large backyard and plant their own garden and grow their own animals?
Well,
I mean, is that the only way to survive?
Let's say in a utopian world, but this is planet Earth. We do have to live here in a social environment. Right. And no, you can't be having, especially look at Trump Tower. Could you imagine the Trumps having goats up there? That wouldn't work very well.
Not very well, no.
But the point is, you take whatever steps you can to see that the food that you do eat is clean.
Okay.
Good, healthy food. Shop in the produce department and the butcher department. So my message doesn't really change.
Yeah. Well, again, what
Brad
said
is... Fix the food at home yourself.
He seems to be quite fine consuming beef. It's the chicken and the and poultry, I would imagine, of other sorts. That'd be one of the reasons why on Thanksgiving afternoon, everybody and their brother after dinner wants to lay down because they just can't do anything. There's no energy left. There's nothing. Or is that just a case of substantial gluttony?
I think that's got more to do with gluttony, and it's got more to do with the starch load.
And the pumpkin pie seconds than the turkey.
Yeah, the pumpkin pie, the
gravy.
Stuffing.
Yeah.
And somehow over the past decade or so, mashed potatoes has worked its way into Thanksgiving fare as being part of a Thanksgiving tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It never was at my house, but
right.
The mashed potatoes probably have more to do with the sleeping through the football game than anything else.
All right, so let's back up. We have a few moments yet here. There's still some time. If you've got a question, ask it, 888-440-4442. But the pain, can the pain that is a result of having diabetes be treated separately from treating the diabetes?
Well, it has to be.
Okay.
Yeah, because you can't just tell people when they come in the doors and say, oh, you have diabetes, go fix your diabetes.
Yeah.
And then your pain will be gone.
Yeah, go eat a salad and come back and say,
you know, even if that is true, the reality of the situation is they worked hard for 20 or 30 years to develop that diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
It might take 10 years to get rid of it. So you're talking about 10 more years of suffering. I think the reason that they came to see the doctor was they want something to shorten that process.
Yeah, 10 years is a little long to wait.
So we do treat the complications and the painful things separately from the diabetes, but a little bit of education about what they can do for their diabetes that might help things along, it just helps.
Like you said at the outset, you know, the diabetes doesn't cause it. It just
makes it worse.
So if you already have arthritis and, you know, you would treat that arthritis if you didn't have diabetes. Do you treat it the same way if you do have diabetes, or are there other techniques you have to use?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks for clearing that up.
Well, you treat it the same as you would, but a lot of times you do have to maybe use different medicines because the diabetes, for instance, if it's affecting their kidneys, there are certain arthritis medicines you would want to avoid or use in a lower dose just to not compound kidney mm-hmm. problems. And there's other considerations that you have to have. It's not really different considerations than you would have for any other patient, but people with diabetes have more of those considerations.
Right. Right. So, you know, when someone comes in here and they have pain and they say, you know, I don't have 10 years to wait, as you mentioned. I have diabetes. I have arthritis. I have insert other painful situation here. What do you do? I mean, do you suggest the same things that you know?
Same things. Like, for instance, people with headaches. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people with chronic daily headaches. We treat those just the same as we would and try to get rid of the headaches, mm-hmm. knowing that even if I can get rid of your headaches now and that treatment will last for a year or so, mm-hmm. those calendar pages will flip regardless of whether you do something about your diabetes or not.
Yeah.
So a year from now, when that treatment starts to possibly wear off, your headaches don't necessarily have to come back.
Gotcha.
If you don't do anything about the diabetes, it probably will come back. But if you take those steps now, you might never have to see me again.
Oh, you'd miss me. I just want to go back and give you a chance to redeem the reputation of Jim Nima, because down Jim Nima, if you missed the opening of the show, it's something that makes it so you can't taste sweet. But now you've got here a Jim Nima cinnamon nutritional supplement for natural energy. Does that overcome anything? Because I love cinnamon candy. Does it taste anything like cinnamon candy?
Well,
no.
No, it doesn't taste like cinnamon candy. You can't taste the candy part. But cinnamon, I'm glad you brought that up, mm-hmm. is something that really helps with blood sugar control. If you take cinnamon, whether sprinkling it on your food or in a capsule or whatever, but if you take cinnamon with every meal, mm-hmm. it will dramatically decrease the absorption of sugar from that meal.
Ah, okay.
And that does two things. Not only does it help keep your blood sugar down, but it decreases your insulin response also, which can help to decrease the insulin resistance. And it's the insulin that causes all the right. problems.
With diabetes, yeah.
So wow. cinnamon is a good thing for people with diabetes. And another nutritional supplement, this is one that you'd have to go a little bit further out of your way. Cinnamon you can get anywhere,
right.
grocery store, whatever. Yeah. But berberine is a nutritional supplement. You have to buy that from a health food store.
All right.
And that really goes even further. If you're using the cinnamon with the berberine, a lot of people come off of their diabetes medicines.
Really?
Yeah, if they're using pills to control their diabetes, they can come off of those if they substitute the combination of berberine and cinnamon.
And I'm sure were they to do a Google search, they could see what kind of measurements and how much and all
and
that kind of stuff.
And there's another nutritional supplement, chromium picolinate, that helps to decrease insulin resistance even further. So
okay.
chromium is another thing you can do a Google search on.
So there are over-the-counter methods
sure.
of intelligent eating and some nutritional supplements, and things can maybe get a little bit better in your
now,
world.
Now, these nutritional supplements, just like the medications,
uh-huh.
are designed to help people get over diabetes. They're not designed to make you be able to eat that box of donuts every morning without consequences. But unfortunately, that message isn't always clearly delivered, or at least not clearly received.
Or listened to. You know, some of us just don't care, which is the problem. All right, that brings to a close another hour Painless Living Show. Again, painlesslivingshow.com is the website. You can follow Dr. Cassaro weekly. He tweets some really good stuff at
Painless Living
on Twitter, and then also Facebook.com. The Facebook page is
Painless Living Radio Show.
And then again, always right here, Saturday morning. Next, we will be here.
I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro.
And I'm John Ashton. Hope you have a painless week. We'll be back next Saturday, 11 o'clock. See you then.